So first, I have no financial relationships to disclose today, and I'd like to acknowledge the funding. It's by the NIDCD, National Institute on Deafness and Other Communication Disorders. Let's see, and the purpose was to assess the acceptability and the usability of a computer-based bilingual hearing protection training program. Thank you very much. There we go. And this photo is one of the baseline assessments where the workers first completed a survey and then on the computer took their training in whichever language they preferred. And this was in a laborers' union. Laborers have been very welcoming and very much in favor of any health and safety training, especially if it's in both languages. So the background, I did find from the CPWR's new publication of the construction chart book that there are now 2.6 million Latino workers in the U.S. And this picture is of a laborer. So hearing protection education is a major component of hearing loss prevention. Of course, the preferred way is engineering controls, but while we can't always control those, that aspect of the noise source, then we must do hearing protection training. So the educational materials that exist have primarily been developed with non-Latinos in mind. So we developed this bilingual computer-based educational intervention. We had had a randomized controlled trial completed, and that was NIOSH supported. And in the course of doing that, we realized the great need to have bilingual training programs. So we did quite a bit of formative research with small groups of Latino construction workers, and we reached them through the union training programs. And this is the fifth and final pilot before we did our effectiveness research. We used a theoretical framework, and this is adapted from Pender's health promotion model. There are these external factors that we call modifying factors, and one that's come through in our descriptive studies is the interpersonal influences. That's been a very strong predictor of use of hearing protection. Then there are the cognitive perceptual factors, and these ones have also been predictive, so we incorporate these factors into the training program. The intervention itself has three components, and because we're research, we must have a consent process. So there's an introduction, and I'll show you a little part of that. Then the questionnaire, which is instruments that have been developed in English, but now we've done some more instrument development to have it parallel and in Spanish. And then finally, the training program itself. And it's all a seamless program that the worker receives through these audio headsets with the visual display on a laptop. The introduction, we had a little bit of a practice session so that they could learn to use a trackpad, and that was our input device built right into the laptop. And this shows the worker practicing answering the yes or a no question. The questionnaire itself, last year I reported about our instrument development, and we learned that the response format we had been using in English did not translate well, and we had a 6-point Likert, for example, which now is just a 4-point Likert, and we no longer use the strongly agree to disagree. We created a different way for workers to respond. So here's just a little example here, but it's very in the process of the previous four other field studies, we fine-tune the usability so that it is just point and click. The training program itself involved script writing, storyboarding, and then integrating various media so that it all ends up to be a seamless program. And we were using tailoring. That's actually what we're testing, whether tailoring makes a difference compared to just a standard targeted health message. So those that receive the randomized tailoring are getting a personalized sort of a message, and I'll show you little examples. This shows an example of tailoring on, let's let's see, on use of hearing protection, and this one's in Spanish. And then once they, let's see, they then get a choice of which type of hearing protection they'll be able to practice with. They take off their earphones, and then they practice either using foam earplugs or pre-molded. We do have some earmuffs they can try. This shows tailoring. Now, this is an English version. Whoops. And this is tailored to their, if they told us they thought they had a hearing loss, then they got a special message about that. Okay, thank you. And we did use, we had to look quite a bit to find the types of images that we thought would be acceptable to Latinos as well as Anglos. And we found this is an example of what we found. It's a stock image of the ear anatomy, and then the multimedia developers were able to create something that was good for us. We hired local bilingual voice talent right in Minneapolis, down the road from the university, and had a recording studio. So if we might be able to get this to play here, we'll try.
Estas olas pasan por su oreja, la parte exterior de su oído, y corren por el medio.
Okay, so I won't play the whole thing there. So the method for this particular field test was we recruited, it was actually an intact class, and they're very lucky. The Roofers Union has bilingual instructors, so that in the first year of this apprenticeship, they're able to receive all their classes in Spanish. So it was very good for us. We had the class of 13 Spanish-speaking roofers, and they participated in our beta version of the training program. And following that, then we asked them about it, about their experience. And they were all males, the average age 34. Most had less than 12 years of education. All had been born outside the U.S., and most of those were from Mexico, but you can see we had quite a bit of diversity there. And we asked about their computer use. Less than half had ever used a computer. So the results, we found that they were able to progress through the program and needed very little assistance, and that was very gratifying after the four previous field tests. We did, however, identify some usability issues and some program errors that were amenable to change, so that was a very lucky thing that we chose to do one more pilot. The results, the participants were very positive about the training program. It kept their interest, the length and the pace were just right, according to them, and then all but one agreed that the program was entertaining, an effective way to learn about hearing protection, and that the language was not complicated. They gave us some narrative comments, handwritten, and one chose to use English, so I think he was proud that he could speak English this well. And they're all very positive comments. We really didn't have suggestions of how to improve it at this point. But in our observations, that's where we did see some usability issues that we could fix. They were trying to touch the screen instead of where it said press the number 9 if you want it in Spanish or press the number 2 if you want it in English, and they were pressing the examples on the screen. So we tried to fix that in the next iteration. And then this could have been a fatal flaw. Our dependent variable is the reported use of hearing protection. And we found that they were able to press the continue button without telling us what percentage was their use of hearing protection. So there were two things here we observed about that scale that we needed to improve. And then towards the end, the program just kind of froze, and that was a programming error. And then we did find a few little text issues there, spellings, that we were able to fix. So the conclusion was we were pleased the participants were able to complete the program with minimal assistance, and we're in process now of gathering the Wave 2 data so that we can evaluate the randomized controlled trial. And the message, as I said, when in doubt, field test one more time, that we avoided an expensive fiasco by finding those final errors. And that's my email. Feel free to contact me later. Thank you very much.
I'd like to thank all the speakers. And now we're going to open it up for questions. If you have any questions, please do so right now. Stand up.
Forgive my ignorance, but the undocumented workers, are they eligible to join unions without having a social?
I don't know how to answer that question. I don't know. Do you know, Don?
Yeah.
Yeah.